Okay, day 14. We're in 1 Kings 17 through 19 and 21. And I was really excited, Matt, because I know this chunk of text contains like your favorite Bible story.
Yeah, it does. So here's the deal. This takes place in Israel, mm-hmm. which is the northern 10 tribes.
Yep.
In the just as a historical note, the northern 10 tribes never, ever have a good king. They never have a king that follows God, ever. So things just get progressively worse and worse and worse. And when we get to 17, they have the worst kings, a king and queen, Ahab and Jezebel, and they're awful. And Elijah is a prophet that God has raised up. And Elijah, at God's command, says, you know what? It's not going to rain anymore. So for 3.5 years, I think, is that what it is? It's a long time. I want to say it's 3.5 years. It doesn't rain, okay? And it says the next few years accepted my word. But I'm in my mind, it's 3.5 years. So it doesn't rain. And then finally, when things get bad enough, God goes and he says, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a showdown. So Elijah calls Ahab. And he says, hey, you get all your prophets of the fake god Baal to come together. I, as the prophet of God, will come. We'll get together on the mountain, and we'll have a showdown to see whose God is real. And they do this thing where they cut up a bowl and they put it on the mountain. You know, they put it on an altar, and they build an altar, and then they don't light it on fire. So all of the prophets of Baal, and there are a ton of them, all of the prophets of Baal, like, call for this thing to come and for Baal to send lightning and to take the offering up. And when Baal doesn't answer, they start cutting themselves and they start like chanting louder and yelling. And Elijah trash talks. And he's like, maybe your God's in the bathroom. Maybe he can't hear you. But finally nothing happens. And so then Elijah, he creates the altar. He cuts up the bowl. He puts the bowl on it. He actually pours water on it to make it so it's even harder to catch on fire. And then he just prays, God, do a thing. Mm-hmm. And God sends down lightning that just basically takes the offering and dries up all the water. And basically at that point, everybody's like, wow, God's real, Baal's not. The people kill all the prophets of Baal. This is just this thing where God is using Elijah in this showdown to turn people's hearts back to say, wait a minute, God is the one that's powerful and in charge. And then, of course, he runs away. He gets scared and he flees.
Jezebel
wants to kill him.
She's a devout Baal worshiper.
Yeah.
So she is furious.
Yes. So she's the one that has moved Ahab's all of his heart towards Baal and away from God. And so, yeah, she's furious. She wants him dead.
I always think of that saying, hell hath no fury. Like a woman scorned. Isn't that
Yeah, it is. And this is that.
Like, I just picture her.
Yeah. So, but Elijah, who just had this great victory. Right, just had this great victory where God showed himself as real and powerful and in control, right? And against these false gods and these false prophets, he gets scared and overwhelmed. And he runs away to the point where you almost get the picture that he just wants to die. But this is your favorite part, right, of the story. What does God do for him?
He's like, take a nap and have a snack.
Take a nap, have a snack, you're going to be okay.
You'll feel better.
And so he does, right? He feeds him by ravens, and they bring him food, and he does. He recovers. And so I just...
Don't we all feel better after a nap and a snack?
We do. And I just love this whole chunk, right, 17 through 19, right, where God... The drought comes, but God doesn't abandon it. Like Elijah still, like we read the story about him with the widow and how the oil never runs out and some other things. And we'll read similar stories like that as we move through history. But we have this where God just continues to show up. Elijah wins this battle. Then he stumbles, but God is still faithful to him. Mm-hmm. Even in that stumble, it starts to rain again. But that doesn't stop Jezebel, and it doesn't stop Ahab. They continue to do evil. We read in chapter 21 that this is kind of the picture of how they are. Ahab's like, man, I see a vineyard. Mm-hmm. I'd like to have that vineyard. will you sell it to me? Asks a guy named Naboth, hey, sell me that vineyard. Naboth says, no, I can't sell you this vineyard. That would be sinful.
No. Yeah.
Right? This is supposed to be in my family. I can't let this land go. That's not what God said. Ahab throws a little pouty fit.
Yep.
I mean, the Bible doesn't say pouty fit, but that's what it is. He throws a pouty fit.
That translation.
Yeah. And his wife is like, why are you pouting? You're the most powerful man. You just go take it. Mm-hmm. So what do? They lie about Naboth. They basically get him killed. Mm-hmm. And then they take his land. Mm-hmm. God says enough is enough. And he tells Elijah, you go prophesy against him and tell him what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen is not going to be good.
Yep.
Says, the dogs that licked up Naboth's blood will lick up your blood. I mean, this is graphic stuff. Yes, yours. And all of this is going to happen. I'm going to wipe out your descendants. I'm going to bring disaster on you. I'll make your house like destitute. Dogs will devour Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Like, yes. I mean, this is graphic stuff. God says enough is enough. And basically the point here is they've spent 40 years, give or take, as the king and queen of Israel leading people astray. And God has tolerated it slowly. They've been building a case against themselves, and now God says enough is enough, and he sends judgment. Mm-hmm. And so Elijah comes and delivers judgment.
Ahab repents.
Ahab does repent. Mm-hmm. I love this. Just at the very end, in 27, so it's the last two verses, three verses, Ahab heard these words. He tore his clothes, he put on sackcloth, and he fasted, and he lay in sackcloth, and he went around meekly. He repented. He heard what God had in store because of his great sin, and he repented. And then God says to Elijah, did you notice that? Did you notice how Ahab has repented? He's humbled himself before me. Because he's humbled himself, I'm going to bring this disaster just like I promised, but I'm not going to bring it on him until he passes. The disaster will come upon his family just like I said. It'll come upon his wife just like I said, but not until he is gone. And so this is just a great picture at the end of this, that God will continue to pursue us, and that we have the opportunity to repent and turn to him at any time. Mm-hmm.